I'd like to read for our scripture lesson today from the book of James and the fourth chapter. And I'll just really be reading verses 7 through 10, just four verses of scripture. But we're going to dissect that then. I mean, it's just amazing what God has laid upon my heart in regards to these four verses from His holy word. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Let's pause for a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I've just read four verses from your holy word. But as I studied them, it just came heavy upon my heart, God, is what is contained in those four verses. What is contained in separate words in those four verses. And I pray, God, now that as you have given me the opportunity to share what you shared with me, I pray, God, that you would speak through me. I'm just a vessel, God. I'm an instrument of yours, a servant of yours. And I pray, God, that you would speak through me so that your name may be glorified. And I ask this in Jesus' most precious and most holy name. Amen. Now, as I said in the prayer, I'm looking at some of the words that are contained in this passage of Scripture. And I go to the dictionary many times to get, you know, when you go to the dictionary to find out what a word means, it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You ever do that? I mean, that one word can mean different things. So when you go to the dictionary, some of these words, I found some very, very precious meanings. In other words, first word I want to think of is submit. Submit. Now, if you look in the dictionary, it says this in regards to that word. To yield to the power, control, or authority of another. And it also means to surrender. Now, I want to share with you how God works out this program. Lynn told me, she said, somebody, maybe the pastor said you could change the hymns, and, you know, et cetera. But she said, God will work it out. Did you hear what was played on the organ? I surrender all. I surrender all. Isn't that amazing? I thought, God, you are so awesome. You are so awesome. Nobody told her to play that. You know, but God had this all coordinated. And I think it's amazing. But anyhow, the word submit. Submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to God. Now, thinking of submitting ourselves to God, He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. We're submitting ourselves to the power of the living God. God spoke everything into creation. And God said, let there be light. And God said, read the first chapter of Genesis. All of creation was spoken by the Word of God. He made everything out of nothing. It's amazing. That is power. That is power. And then when they laid Jesus Christ in the tomb, oh, Satan was all happy and thrilled, you know. We won, you know. Well, he lost. He found out on the third day. Because God had power to bring Jesus Christ forth from the grave to live forevermore. That's power. So submit yourselves to God, the power of God. Then, you know, I don't know about you, but I watch the news on television. I want to keep current with what's going on in the world. It's not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty picture what's going on even in our country. And I sometimes I get discouraged. I think, oh my goodness, what else is going to happen? But here's the thing. We're submitting ourselves to God who has all control. God is in control of this whole world, as chaotic as it might be. God is in control. So we're submitting ourselves to God and the control that He has. And then the authority. the authority. You know, you go up the chain of command, you know, like I work here, you know, when I worked in the laboring force, I mean, I had a boss and I had a foreman and then I had the owner and, you know, you go up the chain up to the top guy. You know what? The top one is God. He's the authority that we have to answer to. He's the one that we have to respond to. And then that word also means to surrender. Submit yourselves to God to surrender, as was prayed. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. So submit. We need to submit ourselves to God. Then the next word I want to think of that was in our scripture lesson is resist. And that means to strive against or to oppose. And we're thinking of resisting the devil. Now the devil, the Bible tells us that the devil is like a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion and he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's not a very encouraging passage of scripture. But it's true. Satan, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, what we have to do is we don't want to allow the devil to get his foot into our doorway. You know, if you have a salesman come to the door and you don't want him to come in really, you don't want him, they try to get the foot in the door and somehow, you know, you try to push the foot back and close the door. You ever do that? I mean, you know, we kind of shy away sometimes. We might even look out the blind and see if the salesman thinks, I don't want to bother with them today, so we don't even answer the door. So if Satan's knocking on the door, you know it's Satan, don't even answer the door. But if you're not quite sure if it's Satan or not, and you answer the door, and you find out that sin is trying to gain into your life through a temptation, don't allow him to get his foot in the door. Don't invite him in for coffee or tea or cookies. Shut the door, even if you have to be rude. It won't matter. God will be proud if we're rude to the devil. Charles Stanley, I heard him say this some time ago, that before he gets out of bed in the morning, he puts on the whole armor of God. Boy, isn't that neat? I mean, we get out of bed, we get dressed, we get clothing for the day, etc., you know. But Charles Stanley, before he gets out of bed, before his feet are on the floor, he lies in bed and he puts on the whole armor of God that he might set for what Satan might try to throw at him that day. See, resist the devil. It says in our scripture, resist the devil. Oppose the devil. And he will flee from you. Do you believe that? Now let's look what happened with Jesus Christ. And as I read this passage of scripture, and we're all familiar with it, but the baptism of Jesus was unbelievable. As you read it, you try to capture a picture of what's taking place. But try to capture Jesus coming out of the Jordan River, being baptized. And all of a sudden, as he's coming out of the river, the heavens open up. Wow! The heavens open up! And the Spirit of God comes down in the form of a dove and lights upon his shoulder. And then God speaks from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That is awesome. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit there at that baptism of Jesus. But then the Holy Spirit leads Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted. Isn't that something that when you make a strong commitment to God through Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit leads you, it's then that Satan tries to tempt you. Isn't that right? It's then that Satan tries to tempt you. And then Satan, the idiot that he really is, not just a fallen angel, but an idiot, he says to Jesus, "If thou be the Son of God." I mean, excuse me, if thou be the Son of God. He said that twice. On two temptations. The third one, he didn't say that. But on two temptations, he said, "If you be the Son of God." And then Jesus responded in every temptation, "It is written." How did he resist the devil? With the Word of God. But even in the second temptation, Satan even quoted Scripture. He's not totally ignorant. I said he's an idiot, and he is. But he's very intelligent also. He's a created angelic being by God that fell, that sinned, that tried to uproot God. But even in the second temptation, he said, it is written. But then Jesus came back and also said, it is also written. So we find that we resist the devil by the word of God. And when this happened to Jesus Christ, it says that the devil left him. He resisted the devil and the devil left him. Now the next word that I want to look at is cleanse. It says here in the scripture that I read, cleanse your hands. Now I don't know about you folks, but God just works in my heart a different way. I appreciate so much the way he helps me. But when I read this in God's word, cleanse your hands, you know what I thought of? I thought of when I was a kid and my mom would call for supper. And you see, when I was a kid, I don't know how it is, I get confused with today. When I was a kid, it was breakfast, dinner at noon, and supper at 5 o'clock. Now you have breakfast, what do they call it, just lunch? And then it's dinner now at 5 o'clock. To me, it was always supper time. That's how it was when I grew up. But anyhow, I'm thinking when I grew up. So it's now supper time. So my mom would call it supper time. I could be outside playing, I might be in the house, and I'd come in, because I'll tell you something, when somebody told me it was time to eat, I was there. I was faithful. I was going to be there. No, you didn't have to call me the second time. But anyhow, when I get close to the table, this is what my mom would say. Did you wash your hands? Did your mother say that to you? Did you wash your hands? So when I read this, cleanse your hands, I thought of, did you wash your hands? I thought of my mom. And that's a very precious memory I had. But this is a spiritual cleansing of your hands. Now, when you read that whole portion of that verse, oh boy, it doesn't make you feel so good. Because it says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Oh, isn't that great? You read God's word, you're supposed to wash your hands because you're a sinner. Well, we are sinners. We're sinners either saved by the grace of God, or we're sinners who need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So even if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, even though we've been washed in His blood, I hope you agree with me. And if you don't, I'll stand alone. But I feel we all fall short of what we should be doing for God. Amen? And if you're going to say, no, not me, I'd stand here before you all alone and say, well, I do. But you've agreed with me. So we all fall short of the glory of God. And how do we do that? Well, sometimes it's in our relationships. It could be husband-wife. It could be parents-children. It could be a place of employment. It could be with each other. We fall short in our relationships. I heard just recently a situation, a man called me up and told me about it. But why in the world can't they work that out instead of screaming and yelling at each other and having the police come in and trying to resolve it? We fall short sometimes in our relationships with each other. Sometimes we fall short in our struggles with sin. There are times that we yield to the temptation. I'm not trying to stand here and tell you that I've yielded already. I've been tempted and I've yielded, and then the Holy Spirit convicts me and says, you have just sinned and you need to get your act together and you need to ask for forgiveness. So sometimes we fall short in our struggles with sin. And sometimes we fall short in our faithfulness to God. You know, we do so much in the day, and things we do can be good in themselves, but it takes us away from God. It takes us away from God. So then we look at this, what I've just said, relationships and sin and faithfulness, and then we feel like we fail, and we feel like I'm a failure. Listen to what Winston Churchill said. June 18, 1940, during World War II. Failure is not fatal. Failure is not fatal. And looking at what statement he made, we can look at this, that even though we fail, God lovingly restores those who turn back to him. Next word we're looking at is purify. That is to make pure with no evil, without sin. The Bible says that we should purify our hearts from whatever is evil. And Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They, oh, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. You don't understand this. God is a spirit. He's invisible. Can't see a spirit. Oh, yeah, but let's look at all Scripture. It says, Jesus said they'll see God. And Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And Jesus said to Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Because Jesus Christ is the Word becoming flesh. Then we also have another word here in our Scripture, to mourn. To mourn. Book of Ecclesiastes said there's a time to mourn. That means to feel or express deep sorrow or grief. Not just when someone passes away. Not just when someone dies. That's a time definitely that we mourn and we grieve. And there has to be a healing session that takes place in our lives. But there might be a circumstance. There might be a reason. There might be something that come up in our lives. It could be physical, financial. It might be our sorrow for sin that we are mourning because we have failed God, at least at that moment. But then Jesus also said this, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. They shall be comforted. See, when Jesus was going to leave this earth, this was the night before he was to be crucified, he said, it's necessary that I go away, but the Father and I will send another, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will come along aside of you and comfort you. Isn't that an encouragement? That the Holy Spirit would come and comfort us. Another word we have here is weeping. That means to shed tears, to cry, to show sorrow. And the Bible also says there's a time to weep. There is a time to weep. And yet the Bible also teaches us this. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Have you ever experienced that? When you went to bed at night, things were really hard, things were really difficult, you didn't know if this could be resolved, and somehow or another, through the divine intervention of God, he gave you a night of rest that when you woke up in the morning, things looked a bit brighter. Another word in our Scripture, humble, means to be modest, without wrongful pride in oneself. I checked out God's holy word, which I usually do when I'm going to preach, and I looked at the word humility, found out that in God's holy word, it is commanded. Not if you want to, it's commanded. This is what God's word says. What doth the Lord require of thee but to walk humbly with thy God? God wants you to walk humbly with Him, depending on Him. We don't go up there and say, hey God, here I am. You know, that's not going to cut it. We walk humbly with God. James said in our Scripture, which we have already read, humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He will lift you up. He'll lift you up. Then we come to what is a phrase that really is the title of what I'm talking about today, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. I was looking at the Gospel of Luke and the prodigal son. We're all familiar with this, but I want you to, maybe when you go home, read it. Luke 15, chapter 15, verses 11 through 31. I want you to read it very carefully. And as I did, I reread it. And then as much as I preached on that already, I found some new thoughts. Okay, now we're familiar with the fact that this younger of the two sons went to his dad, and he said, Dad, give me my inheritance. Well, his father really shouldn't have done it. I don't know why he did it, but he did it. He gave it to him maybe a testing time, a challenging time, to see if he would use it wisely. Well, a couple days later, that young son packs everything up and he leaves home. He's probably going down the road and say, boy, am I great to get out of here. I don't want to be around here anymore. I'm going to go out on my own. Well, he did. He went out on his own. He had his inheritance and he spent it wastefully with riotous living. And then all of a sudden, he's broke. And now the employment agency is not hiring too many people because there's a drought in the land. So he's about to go out and feed the swine, or the pigs, if we want to put it right down to our everyday language. He's about to go out and feed the pigs. And then this is what it says. He came to himself. He came to himself. And then he realized that he did make a bad choice. He came to himself and he said, I'm going back to my father. I'm going to arise and go back to my father. And I'm going to say to my father, Father, I have sinned against God and I've sinned against you. Now that's what he's going to say when he got back to his father. But as you keep on reading that, you find out that he arose. He said, I will arise and go to my father. And as you continue reading, it says, he arose and he went to his father. Now, he's heading back home. And his dad is sitting there in the kitchen, kind of looking out the door, and he sees his son coming home. Afar off. Yet he knew it was his son, the way he walked. There was something about that young man that he knew was his son. Now, the father didn't sit there at the kitchen table and wait for the son to walk in the door. The father didn't sit at the table and say, well, boy, I'm going to really lambast him when he comes in and say, look how foolish you were. No, he didn't do that. The father saw the son coming at a great distance. They take notice, the son is coming to the father. And when he sees his son, he has compassion. He has compassion for his son. And he goes out the door and he runs to greet him. And he embraces him. And he says to those servants, get out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to eat and be merry because my son was dead but is now alive. He was lost and is now found. My friends, when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we made a move toward God. We were drawing nigh to God. And when God saw us making that initial move to come to Him, He ran out the door to embrace us. And because we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, He puts on us a robe of righteousness. And when God looks upon us, because we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, He sees no sin. The prodigal son, what an illustration. Let us draw nigh to God who so graciously awaits us. Let us draw nigh to God, realizing that if we do, He will draw nigh to us. Now again, I don't know the hearts and souls of everyone in this congregation. It might just be that someone is here that has never really accepted Jesus Christ. You may not be sure, just listening to Billy Graham last night or listening to him Saturday nights at 10 o'clock. Talking about people going to church, people that have been baptized, preachers, some singing in the choir. Sometimes those folks are there and they're not even quite sure that they've accepted Christ. I don't know your heart. But I can't stand in a congregation of people and not say, if you don't know Jesus, draw nigh to God right now. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. This is what God said to the people back in the book of Isaiah. Can you imagine if God were here in the person of Jesus Christ, standing up front, said to all of us, and I'd be sitting down here with you, said to all of us, here I am. Wow. Here I am. As much as to say, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? I'm waiting to bless you. I'm waiting to bless you. Back in the book of Genesis, Jacob said to Joseph, as Jacob was near his deathbed scene, he said to Joseph, God will be with you. God will be with you. Do you remember when Joseph was engaged to Mary and he found out that she was with child? and he wasn't sure if he wanted to marry her. He was going to divorce her privately and not making a big scene about it. And the angel of the Lord came unto Joseph and said, don't be concerned about taking Mary to be your wife. That which is within her is conceived of the Holy Spirit. She's going to have a son, and you call his name Jesus. And then as you continue on, it says in Matthew, the first chapter, that this was to fulfill the prophecy of old, where the old prophet said, a virgin shall give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which is God with us. So God is with you, and God is with me. If we draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. He'll draw nigh to us to forgive us, to pardon us, to grant forgiveness of our sins. Now, you know, if we're going to be honest within our hearts and souls, sometimes if a person offends us and they ask for forgiveness, we'll say, well, yeah, that's okay. I forgive you. But isn't it true that sometimes, maybe a year or two later, something happens that reminds us of that incident? And it kind of clicks back in their mind again. Did that ever happen to you? I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. But did that ever happen to you? See, when God forgives, God forgets. When God forgives, God forgets. Because the Bible teaches us that He separates our sins as far as the east is from the west. I don't know how far that is, but it's pretty far. The Bible also says that He buries our sins in the depths of the sea to remember them no more. In other words, when He buries them in the depths of the sea, He puts a sign there. That doesn't say this in the Bible. And God's going to say, well, where did you get that idea? But He's going to put a sign there, no fishing. No fishing. Your sins are in the depths of the sea. I don't want anybody out there fishing for the sins of Barry Becker or whatever your name might be. We draw nigh to God. He's going to bless us. He's going to make us happy. He's going to do things that we can rejoice in. He's going to bestow His grace upon us, unmerited favor, giving us something that we do not even deserve. He's going to give that to us. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. He's going to come and comfort us. He's going to ease us in the time of sorrow or circumstances. And He's going to give us hope. When I was looking over my notes this morning, I was there alone and just kind of singing to myself, and it's best if I sing to myself. My range anymore is about that big. Somebody told me when you get older, your range, maybe it used to be like that, and I get small. Mine's about like that. I think it got about four notes. Because when I sing a hymn, even like singing this morning, it's too high, so I go low. Then I go low, and it's too low, I gotta go high. I'm like a yo-yo when I'm singing. But anyhow, we find out, and this morning I was sitting there just kind of singing to myself, that in comfort He'll give us hope. And these are the words that came to my heart. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest name, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you glad I didn't sing it for you? I am. We draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to us to help us, to provide whatever is needed. He's there for the time of trouble. The other day I was reading in a devotional by Charles Spurgeon, and it's one of my favorite verses. I have many of them, but it's God speaking. And this is what God said: call upon me in your day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Now, I've used that verse many, many times, and I love it. I love it. I love it. And yet Charles Spurgeon did it in such a different way. He started out with trouble. And we're all going to have trouble. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. In the world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So Charles Spurgeon started out with trouble. And he said, when we have trouble, isn't it wonderful that we can call upon God? And if we call upon God, God said, I will deliver you. Not I may if I feel like it. I may if you meet my standard. I may if you're good enough. No. He says, I will deliver you. Now that will have to be in His time and in His way though. You have to be patient with that. And then He also says, when I deliver, you will glorify. You'll praise me. You'll praise me. What a precious verse of Scripture that is. When we draw nigh to God, He's going to deliver us. He's going to set us free. He's going to rescue us. He's going to save us from the bondage of sin. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, absolutely no one, comes into the Father except through me. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth. You shall know me because He is the truth. And I'll set you free from the bondage of sin. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Do you believe that? Amen. Heavenly Father, oh Lord God, I just want to thank You for Your presence here today and the way You coordinated this whole service. Everything fell into place for Your glory, God. But I continue to pray for Pastor Jay and Larissa and the family. I continue to pray for this congregation awaiting the return of the pastor, God. I am thankful, God, that I was able to help in the service today. And I thank You for the help You gave me, for Your presence, which was here in this entire service. And the presence of the Holy Spirit as I was trying to share God's Word, Your Word, with this congregation. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.